animals, pets, and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John Lobster. With Solo, a Star Wars story hitting the big screen, Legends Podcast takes a look back at another swashbuckling band of spacefaring misfits, the crew of the Serenity from Joss Whedon's Firefly. We think Mal and company could sit comfortably besides Han, Chewie, and Lando, so we picked out a pair of episodes from Firefly's first and only season, The Train Job and Our Mrs. Reynolds, which we think make a nice duo to discuss before Solo. We aim to misbehave, but never tell us the odds.
Was a very good crossover after seeing the movie and watching these.
Yeah, how'd I do? I have not seen Solo yet. I know both of you have, and I kind of picked out these two episodes. Do you think I did an okay job, or am I way off base for what Solo actually is?
50-50?
Okay.
I'm not giving you which 50.
Is it the marriage episode? It's the marriage.
I'm not giving you which 50.
Okay.
All right. Hey, you know what? It's still, these two episodes are a nice reminder of the Serenity universe. So, yes. Firefly universe, instantly, I'm going to start rewatching this
so
weekend.
We've all seen all of Firefly at least once, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and we've seen Serenity, the movie.
Yes.
Okay.
So, spoiler alert, but guess what? If you hear any spoilers, it's still worth watching.
Yeah, it really is. We're going to, you know, if one of us says, let's say, curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal, then
it's okay.
But Firefly was 2002 to 2003. This was Joss Whedon's follow-up to Buffy and Angel, and it was on Fox, so of course it was doomed basically from the beginning. The episodes aired out of order. Fox didn't really get the whole idea behind the series. Basically, if being on a streaming service was an option, this would have been picked up by Amazon or Netflix based just on the fan base that the show built after only 14 episodes.
Wait, though, really, let's back up a little bit. Would it, after 14 episodes, or would it have been, because I watched the first couple episodes and I was an idiot, most likely a drug addict, fucking 20-something-year-old, right? It more got to me like a year or two after. Like, there was this groundswell of everybody sharing the DVDs or the videos like, everybody was like, this is the shit. It's so much fun. It's sci-fi. It's, you know, I don't know.
Basically, as soon as it was available, Beef, that's what you're saying. Because as he said in the intro, this aired so much out of order and out of context that people had no idea. But all of a sudden, you were going to whatever CD or DVD store you were used to and it was there next to Star Wars because it was in fantasy sci-fi genre.
Can I tell you where I got these? I watched a few episodes here or there, but it wasn't my X-Files. It wasn't my every weekly viewing, but I got these
from not much of it. I mean,
I got these from LAN parties where you'd catch up with your buddies, you'd hook up PCs, and you'd game. And one of my buddies is like, "You like sci-fi? Here, check this out." I'm like, "Oh, I've seen a few episodes of it." And he's like, "No, just shut up and watch all of it, like absorb it." And after that, I'm a fan.
And I would say the show is probably ahead of its time.
Oh yeah.
So I think, in terms of modern sci-fi television, we probably all coalesce around, say, Battlestar Galactica in terms of what a modern space opera should look like, right?
None of us like Battlestar Galactica.
None of us like BSG at all. No, we all hate it. We think it's stupid. But I think if this show was set, again, this is 2002, so we're right after 9/11. We're still feeling super patriotic and gung-ho government and all of that. And we haven't quite reckoned with the never-ending Iraq war and the fallout from the war on terror and all of that, which I think Firefly is kind of a commentary on, because these are the guys who lost the war. These are the insurgents that the war chewed up and spit out.
I love that angle.
And
yeah, but in October 2001,
right, we don't get it. But I think in 2005, 2006, I think this would have sat really, really comfortably in the zeitgeist. Like, people would have seen that and they would have gotten it. These are the guys that got spit out by policy. They got squished by the man.
Right. They're the soldiers that went and served for something bigger than themselves, whether they're on the winning or losing side. Yeah, you could have hit a lot more people a few years later because it was ahead of its time.
Right. And that's, if you go back and look, that's kind of where this show starts to get the groundswell of support. The first brown coat ball was in 2006. So really the fan base is coalescing. It's growing. People are sharing the DVDs, sharing, the background on this. There's the groundswell to get Serenity made as a film. And finally they do. So, at least you got a little closure, but
this is okay. Now I've been making a lot of stupid comparisons, so walk with me, but don't follow me completely. This to me is like Chappelle's Show. Now hear me out for quotability's sake.
Yes.
Every episode you watch.
What?
Right. Every episode you watch, you realize that there's like two or three quotes from it.
Two or three times that in the lexicon one of the characters says
something.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
This is my favorite gun. She's the best. I mean, why don't we have a fair trade? Like this stuff that my
fair
friends
trade.
And I.
This has extreme sentimental value.
Right. Well, all this stuff that has like actual quotability with my friends and I, there's two or three of them in every episode, just like Rick James, just like Chappelle.
Because all of you and your friend watched it and loved it. That's the reason.
Even if you, okay, well, maybe I only like nerds, but still, it's got those lines that are, I don't know, they're real. They're a real group of friends. They're a real group of misfits that are gonna love
and not
each
always
other.
Friends. Like,
no,
they don't,
right. But
in these two episodes especially, like they do not get along all the time.
But
like,
the thing is that your best friends you love and you hate. You will talk shit to them and you will rip them, but no matter what, you are the only person that can do that. You'll stand behind them and you'll look at your back. Right, they're your crew. You know, and granted, you know, the Mel and Jane thing is a little bit unknown at this time, but spoiler alert, but still it is a real friendship. It's a real working unit, even though they're smugglers and thieves.
Yeah, in writing, the idea they say don't make a group of people, make a family, and then make a group of people of that.
That's this.
Because that's where it works. It's when you have dysfunctional relationship, but you have to work together. That's when you get the most interesting
who
stuff.
Who wrote this? What's his face? Whedon?
So,
right?
Whedon?
Yeah, we've so
got,
that's clearly.
We've got two episodes. We've got the train job, which the train job is the reason I picked this one. One, I
pilot?
Knew that. Right. I knew there was a train in Solo because it's in the trailer, right? And I think they heist on a train, but that's only what I know from the trailer is because it's not a spoiler because it's in the trailer. So I picked the train job. The train job is also the second pilot for Firefly. So originally they wrote and filmed a two-hour pilot called Serenity, and that was the pilot for the show. And Fox hated it. So they said,
idiots.
If you want this show to go on the air, you have to write a new pilot by Monday. And so Joss Whedon and Tim Minear wrote The Train Job basically because it checks all the boxes and sets up what they want to do with the show, which is show them as bad guys, but not like bad guys. They're kind of good guys.
Just because you're the bad guy does not mean you're the bad guy.
Right. Yeah, it shows them as Robin Hood kind of crew.
Right.
But that voiceover in the beginning, I hadn't watched this in so long. The voiceover in the beginning to retell everybody everything sickened me.
Yes, and that's, I hate that.
Part of it. That's part of the re-pilot.
Yeah, yeah. And then that gets used before a couple different episodes, and they have different cast members do different voiceovers, and the writing changes. So the one that Shepherd Book does doesn't sound like it. It's not even the same words as the one that Mal does. It's different. So it's that's actually kind of fun. Ooh,
wow. But fun, fun fact. My dad was away on a long vacation, and when he came home, he enjoyed the shit out of the show. One night, I'm like, let's see. I'm just going to try. He watched like four episodes back to back, and now anytime this is on, I get a text like, hey, Firefly's on TBS or whatever. Nice. Like, he loves the shit. So, I mean, it's real people. It's fun.
Yeah, and I think the concept of a space western is something that got tossed around kind of almost sarcastically. Even Gene Roddenberry said that Star Trek is wagon train to the stars. Like, and that gets kind of tossed around. And I love that this show is literally a space western. One of my favorite episodes, visuals, is when they have the cattle.
I love that.
Is that Janestown?
Might be.
No, that's the one when might they go into. No, I gotta rewatch.
Might be safe.
But yeah, the one with the cattle is probably the one where you get it the most because of course, we need food.
But I didn't get it. I didn't, like, I'll admit, I watched my first 3, 4, 5 episodes, whatever it was, early in the first run. I didn't get it. I don't know.
I think the moment from this episode is when they have the bar fight. And he gets thrown through the holographic window.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's when you kind of go, this is Western, and are you talking to me? Kind of macho, but also it is the future.
What does he say?
And there are holograms and spaceships and stuff.
A big entrance wouldn't go amiss. Right, wouldn't go amiss. The other one I think is when they're playing pool somewhere, and there's a sign on the wall that says "Not responsible for glitchy balls" or something, and the balls just like completely phase out and phase back in, and there are different numbers everywhere.
Yeah.
Nice detail. So you know that these are the thing that works in Star Wars. It was a chessboard, and we're still seeing that chessboard.
Right.
Play
spoiler
every
alert.
Time we get in, and that spoiler alert. That was in the Force Awakens.
It was in the Force Awakens. Yeah.
Man,
oh,
you
shit.
Shut up!
You're ruining the spoilers by alerting us to the fact
stop it.
That it's a spoiler.
How about I edit it all out?
Something.
Shut up! I'll edit it all out. So going on, chessboards are fun.
Spoiler yeah, 30 years alert, in the making.
Somebody know? Wears a coat of a certain color. Say, your coat's a brownish color. Oh, I got it on sale.
Oh, the fight. How do you always find yourself in a bar on Independence Day or whatever?
Unification Day.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, the other cool thing that this show does is in only 14 episodes, you get this mythology of the universe, right? So the alliance came together, and it's all the planets that are kind of rich and at the center of everything, and everyone else is kind of screwed because they're in these backwater terraformed planets. There's a deleted scene from the second episode, Our Mrs. Reynolds, that we're talking about tonight, where River, that's why she doesn't have any lines. She's only in kind of one scene, and they cut it. But she says that she wants to marry Simon, and he's like, "Well, you can't marry me because I'm your brother," and they only do that on the really bad planets.
Oh my God!
Oh wow! Yeah, the Game of Thrones planet.
Yeah.
How's the girl? Still a little whimsical in the brain pan.
Yeah.
Their lines. Their lines are just. I don't know.
Yeah,
perfect.
The dialogue and kind of the. They're speaking in this sort of almost stilted Western style, but also with little bits of Chinese thrown
in.
When
they throw that in, they use it as the swear words and the go fuck yourselves. And I love that they never subtitle it.
Nope.
Because you can tell by the anger and the pain on their face what they mean.
And it isn't always swearing. No. The IMDb page, if you click on the trivia for each episode, it'll give you the translations, and it's usually just a piece of dialogue that's not really essential.
Yeah, but it makes sense if you project in the future. It's probably going to be English and Indonesian.
Yeah, it's the two countries that had the money to start space programs and colonize
everybody.
Well,
if you think about it, realistically, there's more people in China than a lot of places other than India, and pretty much everybody on the planet, not really, but a third or something speaks English. You know, even as a second language.
So much people in China and in India, man. So much people.
But I mean, even as a second language, English is there for so many people. Whether it's Chinese, Japanese, or Indian, there's so many people that speak English as a backup language. It's gonna, America could die tomorrow. Canada could die tomorrow. People would still probably speak English because it's just prevalent.
Yeah, it's a universal language. Also, French kind of is too. But
yeah, you go in Africa,
the language of the UN and the Olympics.
True.
And if you go in Africa, your English is gonna maybe help you a little bit in the big center. The rest, French, gonna help you a lot.
Right, right. I'm not saying it's the end all be all. I'm just saying that a lot of people know.
Get out of America. Take a space shuttle and go visit the universe.
Racist.
What are you doing, Constant?
What are you doing? Come on.
It's Scanson, and I'm trying to get a lot further out, man. Come on, bro.
I'm bugging you.
We
you
speak
know that.
In whiskey, not language.
Dude, your family, so I can shit on you.
I know. That's my point.
There you go. Making your point.
Just like the crew.
I chauffeur to you, and now my reputation is fact. No gossip. Yeah. He's
you have met Crow. He likes to stand at the door and say boo.
Niska is a bad mamma jamma.
Niska is a bad guy, and in only 14 episodes, he turns up again, and Saffron from the Our Mrs. Reynolds episode shows up again in different episodes. So I kind of enjoyed that these two episodes do pay off again.
As soon
in the short.
As they were dancing, not even, as soon as she laid the wreath on his head, my girlfriend goes, is that Christina Hendricks?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's funny you noticed that.
Yeah, it's funny because now you look at the casting in there. So you got, let's check, Deadpool wife. Okay.
Yes.
We got, what's the other name for Nathan Fillion? What is the show he did for 10 years?
Castle.
Okay.
And soon, The Rookie.
Yeah.
You have Con Man. You have Con Man who doesn't get anything but Con Man.
K2SO.
No.
Alan Tudyk.
K2SO.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a ton
of
stuff.
Oh, yeah, K2SO. You're right. Voiceover.
A lot of it as voiceover.
That's fine. I'll take his job.
It wasn't Deadpool 2. He was listening to Matt Damon talking about like wiping his ass.
It's true.
Wait, what? I know that was Matt Damon,
spoilers.
But that was what's his face?
Oh wait, we've talked about Deadpool already.
We had a cast. We talked about it.
I really
got to
start putting Deadpool.
You've got Casey from Chuck. You've got
Wing,
the doctor.
You know I don't show up here.
Doctor from Stargate Atlantis.
Yep.
Wait. Who?
Kaylee becomes the doctor on Stargate Atlantis.
You're right.
With Khal Drogo. She and Khal Drogo hook up.
And Summer Glau is the big canceller. If you
Terminator. Terminator.
Canceller on your show, yeah.
Terminator.
The cape, anyone?
Yes, I watched the first couple of episodes of that. I kind of like that. Actually.
No. I'm actually going back to rewatch Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles now.
Very good. I have the DVDs.
I have the Blu-rays that I'm reaching over to point at both of them. Both seasons. Look at me. I'm better than you, just a little bit, not by much. I'm not smarter, just better.
I have a 4K file. I'm just saying.
Hey. I had that too, but I was too lazy to go downstairs. I didn't have a 4K file, but I had a file, and I was too lazy to go downstairs to watch these episodes. Amazon has the whole season of Firefly for $12.99 HD. Oh. Do it. I did
there
it.
There you go.
I did it.
Yes.
She knows.
She knows that, yes.
Joey Bloggs ate his gun about 8 months back.
So his job's available?
I love that. He doesn't even miss a beat.
It is good. A little bit of trivia. So the sheriff, played by Greg Henry, plays Sheriff Bourne. He played Jason Bourne / David Webb's father, Richard, in the movie Jason Bourne. So literally he plays a Mr. Bourne, sort of. He's also Peter Quill's grandfather.
Is it spelled the same?
Yep. He also plays Peter Quill's grandfather in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 and Volume 2. Another property that I think could sit comfortably with Firefly in terms of where it gets its sense of humor from. So,
Guardians?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because basically Drax is Jane. Rocket is Zoe. Groot is Wash.
Yep.
I mean, we can go down the list.
I hate you with love. I'm watching it now again thinking this.
Gamora is a more badass Inara because she's very nonsense. See,
Gamora could also be like Zoe, like loyal to a fault and just badass, more badass than anybody in the room
Groot could also be River too, because most of the time he doesn't make sense. But
right, no, I like that. But a badass as well.
But a badass. Yeah.
But Zoe is Mantis. Come on.
No power in the verse can stop me. Oh, Mantis? Mantis is... Oh, that's a tough one.
I think
it's Zoe.
I think Josh is being intrigued, going, now I got to watch this shit.
But basically, it's archetype that you're using
and
all the
totally
time.
It totally works. Yeah, it works.
Yeah. Even James Gunn said, like, I wanted the crew of the Millennium Falcon, but I wanted two Han. So you have Star-Lord and... Rocket Raccoon are basically just playing off each other because they have the same personality. A little bit like Zoe and Mal. A little bit the same kind of idea.
I do like the passion, the look in Inara's eyes in our Mrs. Reynolds when all of the roller coaster ride is going on during, oh my God, I have a wife. Oh my God.
Yeah.
She hates him. Oh my God, it's not. Oh my God, she likes him again. She kissed him. She, you know, she did all these things. You can see all these emotions going through Inara or Deadpool's wife, as Wayne called her.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's taken as long as it has for her to kind of become a movie star.
She's Halle Berry, right? She's a fucking robot. Oh, she is. She doesn't age.
Her neck is like a swan. She is, I mean, beautiful and graceful.
She freaked me out with the short haircut a little bit with V for Vendetta. But she was hot
V.
in that.
V. It was just V, not V for Vendetta, right?
Oh my God, you're right. I'm sorry.
She's just eating hamsters.
I don't know if she did in this one, but yeah. And I liked her daughter, some other hot blonde, but in the show.
There you go.
Yeah, she doesn't age. She's a robot, and she's really cool. And apparently she's a companion, do they call it?
Yes.
It's a high class.
Which is more respectable than being a shepherd, basically being a pastor.
Yeah, it's more respectable to be a high-paid call person.
She's an escort, let's be honest.
An escort. There you go. Thank you. That's a...
Escorts are good! I mean, she's trained in... many arts, and we see that Saffron is also trained and is really, really good. Because I think the best part is the whole episode, you're like, oh, this is cringeworthy, this poor girl, and he's kind of like saddled with her, and he doesn't want to be married, and she's so earnest, and you're like, oh, the whole time you're feeling bad for her. And then they flip it, and you're like, holy fuck, we all got played. The audience gets played.
Yeah, the first time I saw this, I didn't see the whole...
It's a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap. You're going to the special level of hell. Shepherd Books lines.
On the asteroid with the Stargate, the Zappy Gate.
But what was it? The companion lipstick or whatever,
the goodnight kiss.
Yeah, the goodnight kiss. Like, it just, it works, and it's so much fun because you're like, that's Christine.
Flesh. And we'll become one flow. Oh, hey, fresh.
Right. So, listen, sweetheart. Nobody's grabbed my plow but me in a long time.
Nobody's taken a hand of my plow.
Whoa. The story would have been way different if I was captain of the
Well, like she said, you know, you did good. Yeah. You made it longer than 10 minutes. Most men don't make it the first half hour or whatever.
Oh, good Bible. Listen,
you got a rain, sir. I got a rain stick. Here, have Vera. It's my favorite gun.
So good. You're the guy.
God.
So yeah, Jane has a deadlier shot. Drug the fuck up than most men in the verse.
Yep.
Well, I was aiming for his head.
For his head. So good. Oh. And these two episodes, well, not so much the train job, but Our Mrs. Reynolds really is a bottle episode. It's an episode where most of the action happens on the ship. And that's kind of a cost-cutting measure for sci-fi shows. You use sets that you already have because there's, one scene where they're outdoors.
A field.
And a little bit of special effects to make the thing in space, right?
Yeah, it's cheap. The big thing they invested on, and I think that was the best move they've ever did, is that the actual ship is built as the ship. So not necessarily the exterior, but the interior.
Feels
so
like a home.
Yes, so you walk from one place to the other and gives you some restriction on shooting and all that, which makes it kind of creative in a show. So, yeah, just that. Okay, you invest a lot on this. Then you have, a couple of blue screen for the space outside? That's pretty much it. Then you go on the Westworld lot, which exists since the 60s.
Yeah, it's a good show. I mean, it's in terms of they make these terraformed planets, and you can shoot pretty much anywhere in California and have it stand in.
Be a planet, right?
Yeah, whatever they need it to be.
Yeah.
And it's good. You got lots of cattle, too.
See, I married me one powerfully ugly creature.
How can you do that? How can you shame me in front of new people?
I swear by my pretty floral bonnet, I will end you.
That's one of my favorite lines in the series.
I take my one of my closest friend's daughters, so basically my niece, to Ren Faire every year, and they have like buffalo bone or whatever bone pins that they carve. And the first one I ever bought her said, "I swear by my pretty floral bonnet, I will end you." And she wore it like a boss.
Oh my God, you're a good influence, Beef.
Fuck
you are.
Yeah! Now I just need to give her the box set. Mold wine. Pretty girl gave me a hat made out of a tree. No one said I was to have and to hold.
Signing up to have and to hold.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, did I get married last night? I don't know. I passed out.
Right. He goes, "How drunk was I?" And then I love that Shepherd book comes back like, "I think you did.
I think actually you did." What is it saying there about divorce?
A special level of hell for child molesters and people who talk at theaters.
Talk at the theater.
I had to write that down. I forgot how like soul A and B that is.
It's good. So good.
Yeah, I asked the guy in the theater this weekend how his conversation was going on his phone. Really loudly.
Yeah, there's some of that around here. The last time I went, it was the guy sitting like right next to me, and before I could say anything, people behind me started yelling, so I was like, okay,
cool,
put it away.
At the end, though, he totally cock-blocked himself. "I knew you let her kiss you."
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, my girlfriend says that. I mean, he was like, he was right there. He was ready. She was all like, "Ha."
He had all the pieces of the puzzle. Right. He just could not put it together.
He couldn't get past the two chicks kissing.
That is the great Joss Whedon writing, is that he gives the characters everything they need, but he lets the characters be dumb enough not to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, it's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're always thinking we're better than everyone. I saw that coming. Yeah, I saw that coming because it's screenwriting and it's written in a certain way. Yeah. Life is not screenwritten. Sometimes the gun doesn't show up in the first act. It just shows up and you're dead, you know?
The gun didn't show up here until the second act.
All right, there you go.
Vera. Let's go back to the train job a little bit. How do you feel that this episode introduces you to the world and the characters?
I was hoping to have my buddy watch both of them this evening, but he didn't have time because it's been so long since I've watched any of it new that I know everybody, right?
Right.
So
right.
I guess you get a semblance of everybody. You get an idea of who everyone is, but I don't think it is as good as watching the actual 2-hour pilot.
No, and I think that's true. I think the pilot itself is...
Fox was too afraid to give someone a 6-7, 7-8, or 7-8, 8-9.
And again, I think that's a strong lead-in for the series, but I think the audience needed that. I don't think the audience ever really, in first run, got off on the right foot. I give this episode credit in that it tells you what you need to know about the universe, but the pilot introduces you to these characters and you see everyone for the first time, and I didn't really get the show until Mal walks up the ramp and shoots the guy and then is like, okay, let's be about what we're gonna do. And that's when you're like, oh, this is the kind of show. This is the show where Captain Picard Captain Sisko walks up and punches Q in the face because he doesn't have time for that bullshit. Like, that's... I get it. I'm good. I'm sold.
So, you're telling me that Serenity Part 1 and 2 should have been the pilots?
Yes.
Of, as written, the original pilot of the show.
Okay. Well, then, as I start my complete
rewatch...
That's
where you have to start.
I have to go 11... 12,
yeah,
and then Train Job, and then follow the rest.
Yeah, and it's dumb if you have it in that order, because that's not the way it should be. It's...
Actually,
so
if I'm not even...
Should I do 11, 12, and then the rest of the season, and save Train Job for
train
the end?
Job, nope, Train Job, Bushwhacked, and then whatever follows after.
Yeah, Armistice Reynolds.
You always end
fucking...
You always end with Objects in Space.
No, what?
And you end with Objects in Space.
What?
Yeah. Go to the wiki. Go to the wiki page.
Yeah, you know what? Stop asking us. Google it, man.
I am right now.
Figure this shit out.
Hold on.
All right, for Beef and for our listeners, you are going to watch the show in this order: Serenity, The Train Job, Bushwhacked, Shindig, Safe, Our Mrs. Reynolds, Janestown, Out of Gas, Ariel, War Stories, Trash, The Message, Heart of Gold, Objects in Space, and then the movie.
But that don't...
Yeah, that sounds right.
There should be a 15th episode somewhere in there, right?
No,
oh, no, that's because of the double episode.
The double episode of number one. Yeah. And that's when you meet Badger. That's when they bring everybody on board. And Kaylee tells you, you're going to come with us.
Yeah. It's a great intro.
Wait a minute. Is Objects in Space the one with the bounty hunter?
Jubal Early, yeah.
Oh, fuck, you're right. It's supposed to...
Somebody goes, where is your sister? And Simon goes, I don't know. I can't keep track of her when she's not non-corporeally controlling a spaceship.
Wow.
So good.
Yeah, this is one
Firefly,
you need to do.
I'm still bummed about it. I didn't get to watch it when it aired originally. And in coming back and revisiting it, it just makes me sad. But it also makes me happy that it exists and it's something that's out there, and hopefully other material, be it Solo or Guardians, or hopefully something new in the future can reference as well.
So are we ready to rate this puppy?
I think we can.
Wing for Firefly, the series, and are we calling Serenity or just a series?
Yeah, whatever. These two episodes.
Hang on. For Firefly, the verse. Are you going legendary?
If you hate on Firefly, I swear by my pretty floral bonnet, I will end you.
Legend of its time.
Whoa, good myth.
Cult legend.
Time for some thrilling heroics.
Awesome.
Shiny.
Entertaining.
Well, my days of not taking you seriously are certainly coming to a middle.
Mabel.
Mal. Bad in the Latin.
Forgettable.
A powerful, ugly creature.
Abysmal.
The special hell.
We have no qualifier, so we will go.
Yeah, because I don't know. I don't know what's bad to compare this to. Right. I haven't seen Solo yet, so I'll reserve judgment on that. But really, there's not much that I can compare Firefly to that's bad, except itself. Now, I will say that's interesting. I don't think in either episode do they say my favorite Firefly-ism, which is Goram. Goram at Mal.
And their CGI is atrocious, but this is 2001 and a half.
It's fine.
So it's supposed to be bad.
On a super tight budget, yeah. Wing?
I think that's the definition of what a cult legend is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I'll be honest. I bought this for $20 in a deal that included all the Dirty Harry, and that's mainly why I got that. I was like, yeah, get some sci-fi into my classic movie making. So this is how that started, buying two or three copies because it was cheap, because nobody was supposed to buy it. So we started buying a bunch of copies and giving them to people and trying to introduce everybody to it. This is what a cult legend is. And it's a good show. It's a very, very good show. And for a long time, this was longer than any Star Wars you had. So that was, you know, I rewatched that thing so many times that I'll be honest, I just rewatched The Train Job for this episode. And I remember everything that happened in My Dear Miss Reynolds, because that's my favorite episode. I watched it so many times.
So it's a good pick, huh?
Yeah, it was a very good pick for me. I love that episode. I mean, I'm a big Hendrix fan, and I love the way that this episode moved with all the character.
Aren't we all? Yeah. Are we all big fans of her talents?
Yeah, but I like how the character interact with everybody on the ship, so that gives you a little bit of everything. Everyone,
yeah,
and a different shade of everyone that we're used to have. That's why I always love that episode. Yeah.
We always hoped you two kids would get together. Who is she?
So yeah, so I give it a very solid cult legend. I don't think it can be better.
Awesome.
Than that. Beef.
Oh, man, I hate it when you're right. I just want to say legendary because it grew to that, and I think I still might. So. If you hate on Firefly, I swear by my pretty floral bonnet, I will end you. But yes. I believe it did start as the cult legend, and it still is. So for time for some thrilling heroics, because it was dirt, and we all gave it to everybody. I got it secondhand. I gave it second life. This is a time when this was the Wild West of the internet, when everybody was sharing shit with people. And, yeah, I mean, for what you can get it for now, I never looked at it like this is more of a Star Wars because you had more time of it or whatnot, like you said. But I enjoyed this for the time more than I did Star Wars. I didn't come around to Star Wars till now, or Star Trek, because I'm a nerd in a different way. So, yeah, cult legend and legendary, a little bit of both. Lobster?
Wow. Yeah. I really don't have much more to add. I mean, certainly a legend of its time. Because, unfortunately, I think the time for shows like Firefly on network TV, well, we knew they were numbered even when it was on network TV.
Right.
So this is definitely something that ultimately is going to fit comfortably on streaming now. I think what's awesome about Firefly, and the reason that it is, and I'm saying it right now, legendary, is that it was on Fox. It was made with a network TV budget, and they pinched every penny. And I think what you get in this show for dollar value is exceeded. I don't know if there's 10 or 14 episodes of TV that you can point to every single episode. And I don't mean a narrative season like Westworld, but an episodic show that every single episode fires on all cylinders in that short amount of time with what they had to work with. And whatever you want to say about Joss Whedon, he certainly earned some gracious things in recent times. But if you can go back to this and say that this stands on its own as a piece of art that maybe hasn't been surpassed in terms of what it is, that is definitely a legendary artifact to explore. So I encourage our listeners, if you're checking out Guardians and you're checking out Solo and you're stupid young and haven't ever heard of Firefly, go back and watch it. Because
I have that as a question. You interact with younger people than we do on a regular basis.
Yes. I haven't really talked to them about Firefly, but
yeah, I would be curious. Could you we see you again next week and we see what you found, because I found that with the people around me in my field of work, well, I'm kind of one of only geek there, so Firefly is not something that's well known.
I'm kind of curious. Tough now they've all gone home for the summer, but I'll be sure and ask them. I have a few that I think mayhaps have heard of it. But
the thing with this though is that Whedon carried all of those things through. You can watch his later works and you can see the family and the love and the aspect, the respect of these people. Co-characters.
When we watched Avengers a couple weeks ago, the Joss Whedon
tone
directed first Avengers, it definitely, all of that carries through. And I could see, River Tam is Black Widow. There's a lot of Mal in Hawkeye. You know what I mean? Like, they're just characters that match up kind of neatly with what he does. And again, I think he said that he regrets in the Avengers making them sound like Joss Whedon characters. But I think that actually kind of works in...
That's why they got paid.
Right. It's what spun off the tone of that universe into things like Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor Ragnarok that I don't think we would have if we couldn't find a way to take these characters, you know, a little less seriously and more fun and see them as a family.
And think about it. Who are the best director in the Marvel Universe? People that come from TV that are used to jungle huge cast.
Ensemble shows and people that come from honestly doing comedy. I think
Russo brothers.
Yeah, Russo brothers.
40 some odd character.
Yep. Say his name again. Say it thirdier. Sorry.
Taika Waititi.
That's not thirdier.
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi.
What we do in the shadows.
Last word on Firefly, the train job, and our Mrs. Reynolds.
What are we? Big damn heroes.
People who talk in theaters.
All right, that was your take on Chinese.
Put that in Google Translate.
I'm afraid.
Hold on, you need to do it again because you spoke over him.
Coca-Cola.
Some about Coca-Cola. Okay.
Beef on that deplorable note. What time is it?
I can't stop smiling. No. My God.
On the Cortex. Okay, so holiday weekend here in the States, Memorial Day. So we have what we call a 4-day box office weekend in which Solo
was the number one
film at the box office by a significant margin, more than double what Deadpool 2 made. Well, not more than double.
See,
you're right.
See, just under double.
Just under double, 53 million. So Solo, a Star Wars story, comes in on the 4-day at 103 million domestic. Unfortunately, it did not add that much more overseas. It only pulled in 69 million from foreign markets, opened at number 3 in China with 10 million.
I got to go again before we talk about it next week.
I went three times and look at these numbers.
Yeah.
I went for you at least. Damn it! It's not that surprising in some ways because there are factors. But I was like 90 million.
There are a lot of big factors, and I think that's one of the things that we talked about a few weeks ago. Is we kind of gave our box office movie ranking for summer, our top 5. If you scroll down to the bottom of the news doc, you guys can see that I've
I don't want to anymore.
pasted them in there because Wing had Solo at number two. I had it down at the bottom / Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man and the Wasp is going to blow Solo in the wind.
Wait, no, bro. Blow him away. Blow him away. What are they going to do to Solo? I mean, that could be a video for a different cast.
Blow them away.
Yeah. So, but again, I mean, these are things that we knew going in. We knew going in that The Last Jedi, although it did well in the box office, hit kind of a sour note with some fans. We know that this film had a very troubled production, and the marketing didn't really kick up until a couple months before the film came out. And I think all of those factors, coupled with a very crowded box office season.
And the whole reshoot. Basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, bringing in another director, even if this
You already had two. You already had two.
Even if this is Ron Howard's, and wait for it, biggest box office opening of all time for a Ron Howard movie.
Yeah, people tend to forget
inflation.
That 83 million is a lot of money. Most movie would kill.
Yeah, would kill.
For not 83, yep. 103 million. Most movie would kill for that if you're not called Marvel, usually Star Wars or Pirates of the Caribbean or Fast and Furious.
If you don't have a triple digit $1 million budget, if the movie only costs, 80 million to make, then that is, you're doing great. That is a big hit. But if the movie costs 200, I mean, conservatively 250 million, I mean, they reshot a lot. There was a lot of stuff that went into making this movie actually happen.
Ron Howard got credit. That means 70% of the stuff is his.
Is his original, yeah. So, again, this is a big price tag to make up. Now, Disney is lucky because they can dilute that with the overperformance of Infinity War, what's probably going to be exceptional performance for Incredibles 2 in a couple weeks. So, they can spread that out a bit. And this is their second Star Wars movie in 5 months. So, there's still a cushion from The Last Jedi.
They're also learning their burnout point on what, I mean, they might not get a fucking 100 million every 6 months when they drop one, right? It might take a little bit, but people are going to see this, okay? For someone who isn't a huge Star Wars fan, this is a fun fucking movie. That matters.
And I haven't seen it yet just because it wasn't feasible to get in the theater this past weekend.
No spoilers or nothing, but it is fun, right?
I mean, and it's been decently reviewed, and those who have seen it have not, like, I haven't seen the gripes that came after The Last Jedi. Although I thought The Last Jedi was phenomenal, and you guys know I didn't like Rogue One.
Some people are always going to hate, though, always.
But people are going to hate, but I haven't seen that sense of hate from this. I will say that there is one interesting factor here in that.
Where's that? Right there? That's a good boy. Sorry.
It is that this is the first of the Disney produced Star Wars films with a white male lead.
That's funny.
And Rogue One had a female lead. Last Jedi had a female lead and a male African-American lead, or British, African, American, whatever, black lead. So here we have Solo, white kid, takes the lead, and it Ready Player One. It kind of just,
oh my god, I forgot about that movie.
In a very crowded box office environment, it didn't bring in the four quadrants that it needed to, And again, a year ago, if you said, what's going to do better, Solo or Black Panther in 2018, I think you would have had the figures reversed.
I love that's so fucking upside down.
But at this point, Disney is already reacting and saying that, it's going to be only one Star Wars movie a year. And I'm going to move on to one of the news points we have. I'm ready to bet that Boba Fett movie that they just announced is going to get canceled.
I don't know if it's going to get canceled because they hired James Mangold, who did Logan.
Oh, yeah. Last time they hired the guy from the Lego movie, man. That worked well.
But I think what Logan did was it had like a $100 million budget. So I think what they're going to do is get a director that can direct tone, can direct plot and character, and not necessarily go overboard on action and spectacle.
But is it going to be too much like the last one was? Like, I mean, is it going to be too gritty?
I think come in under budget.
I want to see a Lando movie more than I want to see a Boba Fett movie.
But I think come in under budget with a Deadpool 1 kind of scale. And you'll do okay.
Yeah, but the problem with Star Wars is that you cannot shoot at the end of the street, which you could do with Deadpool, which they did a lot.
No, I think you could shoot, let's go back to Firefly. I think you could do Deadpool in most of Southern California and Vancouver.
Yeah, that's going to be called the TV show they're making. So if they're making me buy a ticket... And not just their...
Spread it around.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, but...
Absorb the cost.
But this is going to be... Either is going to be a super troubled production, or this is getting canceled in the wake
story,
of Solo.
The news story only came out as Solo was released, so I don't know.
These stories get people to go in the theater usually because you know when they announce.
Let's stay till the end of the credits and see if they set it up, right?
Fantastic Four 2 was greenlit a week before the movie came out.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I want to go back to our sleeper hit, Book Club, which, again, you may laugh, but with only a $10 million budget has made $304 million total. Dropped something ridiculous like 3.4% last weekend. So, I mean,
Book Club is making money.
It's making money that it is earning pure profit because it didn't cost a lot.
That's the way that Spawn is going to make a bunch of cash because Blumhouse is making this for what, $10 million?
Yeah. Right? So Todd McFarlane's going to direct, right? Jamie Foxx to star in the new Spawn.
And this can't go bad at all.
This can't go bad at all, but Jamie Foxx surprisingly is a very affordable actor to hire. Let's look at the new Robin Hood movie that he's going to be in. So, I mean, you can get him for a fairly low fee, despite the fact that he's a well-respected actor. What was the one he did with
Baby Driver?
Tom Cruise. What's the one he did with Tom Cruise?
Collateral.
Yeah. And Django. Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, it's definitely he's a bankable actor that could get people in the theater. And
he begged for that job, the story says, too.
And
so.
Blumhouse made Get Out, don't forget. So they're hot, too.
Oh, God damn it, you're right.
And A Quiet Place.
No, Blumhouse did not make it.
And the new Star Wars Boba Fett movie, I hear. So
shut up! Don't lie to me.
But Blumhouse is brilliant into taking like a small budget and turning it into a lot of money. That's how they got the money to do what they're doing now. Right. I mean, that's great.
Who are the ones are they the ones that always did like the slasher films?
Yep, but now they're branching out since Get Out helped them a lot because all of a sudden it legitimized them. Because they had an Oscar winner.
Right.
So now they're branching out a lot.
When we talked about penny pinching, that's the name of the game with them. They're not going to give you a lot of money, but they're going to expect that you spend it well.
Yeah. And the thing is that with the kind of money they give you and the kind of support they're going to give you, your movie is going to make enough money to pay itself as long as you do a decent job.
Yep.
Now they're looking for the person that's not going to just do a decent job, but's going to explode and follow these people. That's how you make a lot of money. Ask Disney. They did that with a lot of people.
Let's ask Disney also how they feel about merging with Fox. Or actually, we should ask their shareholders, which is exactly what Disney and Fox are going to do in about a month. They're going to have a shareholder meeting to discuss the possible merger.
Yeah, and there was also something that came out about Disney sweetening the pot since the Comcast news. So
yeah, well, I think Comcast offered an all-cash deal where Disney's was like all stock.
Stock, and there's a big, big capital gains tax that they'd have to pay, almost in the billions to do that deal with Comcast. I think they're going to go with Disney, Fox.
Yeah, what I've read today is that Disney is going to put enough cash to give the same exact quote, like the same exact offer, and they're going to transform a couple of the shares that they said they would give and put them in cash instead.
Yeah.
But they're going to negotiate that with the Fox shareholders instead of just making an offer, which is cool.
It's good. So. It's smart, and it's probably going to happen because unless this whole AT&T Time Warner merger completely fails or isn't permitted to go through, then I think that's a done deal.
Monopoly.
It's going to happen. Don't worry about it.
I'm not sure that one should happen. Yeah.
Production starts on Bond 25. Universal has won the distribution rights.
He's done, right? Craig is done after this?
Done after this, or he's cashing in one more, but...
Do you know how much he's paid for this one?
I'm sure he has paid a hefty sum. What's the figure?
50 million... Wait, a pound.
Oh, so 50 million pounds.
So that could be like 60-some, 70-some million, what's the name?
72 million in date of today in U.S. money. Yeah.
Yeah, and that fluctuates wildly, so...
Yeah, for one job.
Yeah.
No person on earth should make that much money, but I'm happy that he's making it because he's good at it.
He's good at it, and for all that he said he didn't want to do it, I think audiences want him to, so...
Well, you know, there's always one thing that everybody's going to say yes to, and it's that sound. Beep. Beep.
It's da-da, beep. Da-da,
beep.
Da-da,
beep.
Da-da, da-da, da-da.
Yeah,
dump trucks of cash.
Backing up to their pool. Houses.
Their Scrooge McDuck swimming pool.
Their private island.
50 million pounds. The first movie cost $1 million in 1959, you know.
All right, so one more thing I guess we should say. Trailer Dump has brought us Christopher Robin, the official trailer. I know we talked about it a little bit before the show. Beef, what was your immediate reaction?
This is definitely Ted 3 or Ted something. I mean, it's a Ted version, right? It's what'd you call it? The cleaner, the PG version of Ted?
Yeah. Well, I said Paddington 3, but yeah.
Or, I like Paddington 3 as a concept, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Paddington 3, it's clean version of Ted. I mean, I haven't seen the Paddingtons, so.
So, unfortunately, it sounds like they're not going to make a Paddington 3, which, so I hope this movie does really well, and then they revise that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if this movie does well, a studio is going to look at Paddington and go, we could do that again.
Ugh.
If I have to choose a puppet movie, I'm choosing the Melissa McCarthy one right now.
No.
It's all release
time.
Sued.
So. They're getting sued for using Sesame in their trailer.
Yeah, it's just a cease and desist.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all Sesame, no street. That was news?
That was news. And if I can find our fucking list.
Next time.
I think I closed
it. Should be an easy one.
I think
I
closed
it. We talked about it a lot.
Oh shit! Next time.
Next time. Warnings.
Next time. Legends podcast solo.
And they're not playing chess. They're not playing chess. We saw it in the trailer, but they're not.
Something with
or
dice,
maybe they are.
Maybe. I mean,
all right.
This has been episode 375 of Legends podcast. I'm Beef saying, two podcasts suck.
I'm John D saying, yeah, it does.
I'm Lobster saying, go ram it. Mal, get out of the carbonite.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.